Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome back. It is Monday, August the 8th, 2022. What a joy and pleasure it is to be back with you for our second week back of daily devotionals. August the 8th, too. Can you believe it? We are just flying through here. I hope that everybody had a fantastic weekend. And even more importantly, I hope you had a wonderful Lord's Day yesterday. That day found you, if you were at all able, that it found you in a Bible-believing church somewhere, worshiping with believers. The reason I say that is because worship is not a spectator sport, right? Christianity isn't either. Being a part of the church is what is so important. And if not, well then, Sunday worship begins with decisions on Monday morning, and then Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday. You all get the idea, and I'm not trying to be hard on you. I just love you. Really, I love you enough to tell you the truth. And if I didn't, then I would like to think that I wouldn't waste your time through doing this. I wouldn't waste my time. You wouldn't waste your time if you weren't coming here for the truth, whether that truth is always convenient or not. But nevertheless, I hope that you had a fantastic Lord's Day yesterday, and that included worshiping with a body of believers in a Bible-believing church. We had a fantastic day yesterday at Old Providence. And if you are a regular in this devotional, and if you attend Old Providence, you heard something that sounded somewhat familiar. Yesterday, for our sermon, we're actually in a series right now on the names of God the Son, and I started a sub-series, if you will, on the seven I Am statements of Jesus. The first of which is right here in John chapter 6, where we find ourselves today. So if you're new, go ahead and turn to John chapter 6, because that's where we're going to be reading from. But nevertheless, we're going through the seven different I Am statements of Jesus, because we're asking the simple question, okay, Jesus has these names that are given to him, but what does Jesus say about himself? Very first place he starts is, I am the bread of life, pointing to God's provision, pointing to the nature of who he actually is, that he is not a source of salvation. He is the source of salvation. And he isn't just a man. He isn't a prophet. Y'all, he's God. You know, that's why the I Am statements are so controversial. It goes all the way back to Exodus chapter 3. Talked about this yesterday. Talked about it last week. After the Israelites are enslaved in Egypt for 400 years, God goes and gets Moses and says, you will be the one who I use to deliver my people. Moses, of course, has a problem with this, basically says, who am I? Anyway, finally, after God talks about other things, Moses says to God, well, okay, fine, I go to your people and I tell them the God of your ancestors has sent me. Who should I tell them sent me? God replied, I am who I am. Tell them that I am has sent you. When Jesus throws out these I am statements, this is why, again, the Pharisees are ripping their robes, they're tearing their beards out, they go nuts. They say, aha, there we have it. He is guilty. And so let's just go ahead and stone him right here, right? Jesus claimed to be God. But it's not only his identity that Jesus is pushing over and over and over again in the gospel, according to John. Also, what Jesus is pushing is his claim of exclusivity. Right. Exclusivity is one of those things that the world doesn't like to talk about. The world likes to talk about inclusivity. Everybody's included. Everybody's tolerant. Everybody's happy as long as you agree with everything that the world tells you to agree with. If not, they will cancel your backside like a bad check, right? Okay, they will turn on you so fast, and the world that's supposed to be happy, shining people holding hands and loving each other becomes the most hateful group of people you've ever seen. There's a website, progressivechristianity.org. Let me just be blunt here. If you're a part of a mainline denomination, there's a very, very good chance that your pastor probably enjoys that website quite a bit, because progressive Christianity is the very definition of the PCUSA, the United Methodist Church. The list goes on and on. The Evangelical Lutheran Church. Y'all, But on progressive Christianity, I saw a meme recently that was posted. You know what memes are? They're those little things that that people have online. Anyway, and it basically, and I know I'm going to butcher it, but it said something like conservative Christians don't realize how much of a drawback it is when they tell people that if they believe in Jesus, they'll spend an eternity in heaven with them. In other words, they're saying if heaven is spending time with you people, it's not that great. Y'all, number one, theologically speaking, that is just absolute bankruptcy, right? Okay, because when we get to heaven, we're all going to figure out how wrong we were. But aside from that, where's the love, right? Where's the inclusivity? Where's the tolerance? It's not there. It never is there with the world. The world doesn't want tolerance. The world doesn't want inclusivity. The world wants you to consume and not question. They want you to step in line, drone worker. That's the saddest thing about this abortion debate, right? And all these employers that are coming out, oh, well, we'll pay for your travel expenses if you go get an, if you live in a state where you can't get an abortion, we'll pay for your travel expenses to go get one. And people are like, oh, brave, stunning, right? They don't even stop to think, you know, those companies save a whole lot more money if you have an abortion than if you have a baby. They have to pay you maternity leave, that stuff. So, in essence, what these companies are saying is keep on working, drone. But people don't see it that way. Why? Well, because the world is full of fools that can't see. But nevertheless, as it relates to Jesus here in John chapter 6, y'all, this is not about being hateful. It's not about being anything else. This is about Jesus being who Jesus is. If Jesus is who he said he was, namely that he's God, if Jesus really is the bread of life that he claims to be, and he is, then he must be exclusive. He must be the only way of salvation. If God is really who God says he is, namely that he's holy, and in order to be with him, you have to be holy. So that's what Jesus is really about here. To that end, in his interaction with this crowd that he had just fed miraculously, after he tells them that he's the bread of life, after saying that the work of God is to believe in him, where we left off the last time we were together, after talking about how salvation worked, that salvation comes from God himself, we read in verse 41, at this, the Jews began to grumble. Yeah, they grumbled because he claimed to be God, and they said, wait a second, isn't he Mary and Joseph's kid? And that's where we left off. So let's pray and then we'll dig in. Father, please be with us now as we continue in our time together. Watch over us, that we would understand your word and not just in some lofty anecdotal way, but instead that we would understand it in light of who we are, that we would see you for who you are. So now please guide us in this time and we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. So where we're picking up is John chapter 6, verse 43. And where we're picking up is with Jesus still interacting with the crowd. He's just laid down the gauntlet and he's told them how salvation works, that salvation comes from God, that we don't do one thing to earn it. And this is what we talked about when we were together on Thursday, how salvation works. That we read from Ephesians chapter 2. We talked about how, yes, you must have faith, but faith doesn't come from you and me. It comes from God. That's why the scriptures say that God is the author of salvation from beginning to end. Right, that God chooses. Jesus said, I'll have all those that the Father gives me. That implies that he will not have those that the Father does not give him. And if you're still wondering at that discussion, listen to what Jesus is about to say next. You thought what I said Thursday was controversial about predestination, about election. Just listen to what Jesus says. Forget about me. Verse 43. This is Jesus still addressing the crowd. He says, stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Did you hear that? If what I said on Thursday, and if you came back today, that's wonderful. Sometimes people get angry and they're like, he's one of those Calvinists, or he believes in predestination. I believe in free will, and so I ain't gonna listen to that. Well, don't worry about me. Don't listen to me, right? Listen to what God's word says. No one, Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Now, people say, all right, yeah, that's fine. We believe that, but God draws everybody. No, he doesn't. Because Jesus doesn't just say, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Jesus follows that up by saying, and I will raise him up at the last day. So this idea out there, theologically speaking, where people try to have their cake and eat it too, where they say, oh, well, God predestines everybody, but you still have to choose. Or God gives everybody grace, but grace is like, you know, the apple tree where you can't reach the apple. God gives everybody a ladder to climb up and reach the apple, but you have to choose to take the apple. No, the Bible never says that anywhere. That's completely man-made. And so the idea that everyone has been called, everyone has been drawn by the Father can't be true, because Jesus then flat out says, and I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus says, everyone the Father draws to him will be raised up at the last day. So y'all, it can't be both. Jesus can't say that everyone who the Father draws to him will be raised at the last day, and then at the same time say that anybody can go to hell. And he does say that a lot. Number one thing Jesus talked about, right? The kingdom of God being at hand. Number two thing that Jesus talked about is hell, because you can't talk about heaven and the kingdom of God without talking about the alternative if you reject Jesus. So again, salvation comes from God, y'all. If what I said offended you last week, if you don't like what I said about free will or any of that stuff, listen to what Jesus said. No one can come to the Father, verse 44, or no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 45, it is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God, referring to God's people. Right? They will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. Y'all, it all comes down to faith. The idea, again, that you somehow work your way to heaven, the idea that you can somehow do more good stuff than bad stuff, and even if you could, that the good stuff erases the bad stuff. You know, if I'm out mowing the lawn around the mailbox, I got some gravel, right, where the mailman comes in and delivers the mail. Anyway, if I have the blade a little bit too low and I throw a rock somehow through Stanley's window across the street over there, I can feel terrible about it. And I can say, oh, my goodness, Stanley, your window. You know what? To make it up to you, I'm going to repave your driveway. I'm going to cut your grass. I'm going to put a new roof on your house. I'm going to buy new carpet for you because glass got all in your carpet. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And even if I do all of those things, the window's still broken. You see, that's how sin works. The idea that, okay, I've sinned, so I'm going to do all these other things to make up for it. Y'all, the original sin still has to be atoned for. I can put a new roof on his house, but if I don't put in a new window, well then, y'all, it's pointless. The offense is still there. That's how sin works. And you and I, no matter how much good stuff we try to do, number one, you ain't ever going to do more good things than bad things, because sin isn't just about what you do. It's about what you leave undone. Same way with me. So we'll never do more good things than bad things. But even if we could, you still got to atone for the bad things, right? There's not some cosmic scale out there that, oh, I did more good things than bad things, and so it's tipped into my favor, and oh, guess what? Now I get to go to heaven. It's not how this works. Y'all, only the righteous will see God. That's why Jesus just said, there's only one who has seen the Father, the one sent from him. Oh, and by the way, that's me. So if you're going to see God, you're going to see him through me, is what Jesus is saying. It's the only way to see God. And the only way to truly follow the Son is to believe in him. Nothing else. Nothing else at all. And to that end, He continues in verse 48. He once again restates it. He says in verse 47, I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread, and he's referring to himself, here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now, y'all, this is one of those earliest places that Jesus is indicating what's going to happen to him. And certainly this language ought to bring out the idea of communion in us. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow because we're running out of time. I'm really trying to keep these under 20 minutes this week so I can put them all on a CD and make those available to people at church that they can't. But only I do four devotionals. And if they're all under 20 minutes, then they'll all fit on one CD. But nevertheless, Jesus, for the first time here, you know, this is still rather early on in his ministry, right? He's gathering the crowds. He's revealing who he is. This is the first of his I am statements. But this is also one of the first places that he points to the fact that he is going to give his life, that his life will be the means by which we believe in him and the means by which we see the Father through him. But right here, right now, for the sake of this crowd, he's laying down the gauntlet for them. He's telling them what it means to really believe in him. And what it means to believe in him is to follow him and to forsake all these other ideas that they have. Now, that's for this crowd, but it's also for you and me today. And with this idea, this thought, we will close and we'll pick up in verse 52 tomorrow. Spoiler alert, the Jews are going to grumble some more, but nevertheless, Jesus here gives them the first glimpse of what it really means to trust in him, what it really means to follow him. Y'all, the world peddles an idea of what it means to follow Jesus that is anything but following. In fact, the idea that the world peddles is to follow your heart, which is the worst advice in the history of advice. But that's what they tell you to do under the guise of somehow the way you please Jesus is by just being you. Y'all, Jesus is God. Jesus, God never says, just be you. It'll all work out. Be true to yourself. God says, be holy because I'm holy. And Jesus says that he is our holiness and that it is only by his body that's broken, by his blood poured out, by our eating and drinking, his flesh and blood, figuratively speaking. It's only through him that we have salvation. So, how do you follow Jesus? What do you believe following Jesus is all about? Well, if it doesn't start and end by doing what his word says, you're already off on the wrong foot. If it doesn't start and end on believing on the name of Jesus alone for salvation, you don't believe in him at all, I'm sorry to say. Instead, take him at his word. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this time that you have given to us today, and we pray that you would use your word by your spirit to work in our hearts. Draw us to yourself continually and help us to appreciate what you have done and to live in light of it. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I'd like to thank you all for being a part of this time. Lord willing, we will be back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. I see we've got several with us right now. There's Wayne. You made it, man. Good morning. And there's Rose and Christine. And there is Becky. All right. Thank you, guys. And I know many others are watching. But thank you so much for being here. Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Until then, have a wonderful Monday.